Good morning, Delaware. I hope you're having a great Friday. I hope it's a lead into a wonderful weekend. We are glad to have you here with us today. When I say we've got a little different crew today. Good morning, Hannah Simpson, our communication specialist.
Good morning, George.
Hannah's sitting in for Nicole, who is taking a well-deserved break this week. We have two guests on the show today. During the first half of the show, we have Karen Cowan.
Good morning.
There's always this trope in old-time radio about comedies and things, people who are afraid to have their sponsors around. And of course, Karen is the president of the Friends of the Library, and of course, the Friends of the Library are the sponsor of this program, and we love Karen, so we're not scared to have her here at all. So, and Gage, notice I got your name right.
That's right.
Good morning. Tell us on the board. Thank you. And our guest in the second half of the show is going to be Aaron Schultz from the Wave Foundation, who's going to be talking about the Penguin program that they are doing from the Newport Aquarium for us for next week. That will be an online program, interactive program, so stay tuned for the second half of the show, too. So, Karen.
Yes.
You got some cool things happening with the Friends of the Library this weekend and next weekend.
We have some very cool things happening, not just this weekend and next weekend, but we're coming back. We're getting a lot of new activities happening this weekend. All of you who have books piled to wherever and you can't get out of your house, bring them to the Orange Library on Saturday from 10 to 1. Put them in a box, put them in a bag, we'll take them out, and we'll put them in the library. You can get rid of them, and you don't even have to get out of your car. So come and bring your books. And if you can't make Saturday at Orange, come the following Saturday at Delaware, the same thing. Put them in a box, put them in a bag, bring them to the library, we'll take them out, and we'll put them in the library, and we will repurpose these books and probably sell them back to some people who would really like to read them.
I hear, too, that people who drop off books are going to get something more than a warm smile from the people who are unloading the cars.
They are, thanks to our First Citizens National Bank, we have some coupons for some ice cream, $2 off at a whole lot of different ice cream places. So, come and visit us, and you can drop off your books. And then when you have more room in your house, you can eat ice cream. And if you gain weight, that'll be okay because you have room to gain weight in.
Oh, my.
Just saying.
You can also take the books that you keep and use those for, like, exercise.
There you go. Yeah, that's a good idea. Or when you come back to the book sales.
Exactly.
When you buy the books, you can exercise.
Right.
Just fill up those bags.
There you go.
Those are your friends in the library bags.
See? There you go.
Now, there are a few exceptions to this. There are some things that people would like to give to the library or the friends that we really can't use.
We're not doing magazines. We're not doing VHS tapes. George has got the list. Albums, audio cassettes, stuff like that. Travel books, especially, we get travel books from like 2003. Things have changed. Probably the hotels aren't there anymore. So those kind of things.
The rates have definitely changed.
The rates have changed.
And when you say albums, you mean like vinyl records, right?
Vinyl records, yeah. We can do CDs, and we can do like books on tape and those kind of things, but the VCR tapes and the vinyl records, no, we can't do those kind of things.
So you don't want to get Rick wrecked with the Rick Astley tape from the 90s. Yeah.
We would like it, but no. Not that we wouldn't want to listen to it, but no, we can't do it. So, yeah, there are some things, and like the activity books, search, word search and those kind of things, those are really cool, but we can't take those, and especially if they're filled out. So don't do that either. Law books, textbooks, but other than, your fiction and nonfiction that you want to bring in, please do that because we haven't taken donations for a long time and we want to get our book sales going. We have some other cool things going on too, don't we, George?
We certainly do.
Yes, we do. We have an author's visit on October 25th. Three mystery authors. Robin Yoakum, who is a local author who has written 7 books, and I've read all of them, and he is really, except his newest one, and he is a really cool author.
Yes,
Andrew Welsh Higgins, who writes things about Columbus, and his main character's nickname is Woody Hayes, ex-football player, kind of gotten bad with the football team and the people of Columbus, so yeah. And he has 7 novels. And Connie Berry, who's written 3 novels. Her main character is Kate Hamilton, who's an antique dealer. And we are doing this at the best place ever. So bring your spouse, bring your significant other. Come meet the authors, and have a brew at Ill Mannered Brewery in Powell. So it's going to be a books and brew type evening. Not real formal. George is going to be there. I hope Hannah's there. It's going to be very cool.
I'm actually going to be out of the country, but the best thing is that they're all mystery writers, yes. And it's right around Halloween, so it's going to be spooky.
You know, I didn't think about that. How cool. Thank
you. It's going to be spooky, and you can grab a beer and settle in for some tales of murder.
Yes, and mayhem.
And mayhem.
And mayhem.
It's and mayhem. Intrigue.
It's going to be very cool, and it's the first time we've done something like this, so we're really excited, and we hope to get a whole lot of people. The place isn't that big, so its seating is going to be limited to about 50. So there's going to be something on Eventbrite later on, probably in September. So any of you who like mystery books, sign up, because Robin Yoke, and I love his books. He's really good. And Andrew is great.
I've got the Connie Berry's new book sitting on my nightstand. I haven't read it yet, but I do have a copy of that.
Really?
Waiting to be read. Yeah. And I've read Andrew. He's His characters are great. And the Columbus feeling is perfect.
Yeah, and Robin does Columbus too.
So yeah, he does a lot of Ohio stuff. Yeah. I've met Robin a couple times in college. Yeah, I read his first works for a class.
He was a writer for the Dispatch.
Yes, he was. Mm-hmm. And
Andrew is the AP stringer for Columbus. So if he he covers the State House and things like that, Columbus News for the Associated Press. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's why I come. I learn something every day. Some of the other things that we're doing that we're bringing back, our Young Writers Workshop is going to be in November, and our Middle School Writers Workshop, which is a new workshop. We're going to have middle schools doing graphic novels, and there's going to be some information again on our website about that.
Those workshops are such a delight because the kids, they write, they work in the workshop and create a book, and then they get a copy of the book, but then the book also goes into our collection, and you can check out these books, and what these kids create are so charming, and the stories they make are so funny. I love them.
We have had kids come to like the four or five that we've had of young writers, and it's fun to watch their progression through it. And one of the first books, young writers that we had, this little five-year-old comes out and he looks at me and he says, I just went to the Young Writers Workshop. And I'm like, how cool is that? So yeah, these are very cool. And I think the middle school writers is going to be something. I think with the graphic novels, we'll be able to get some interest.
Come up with, I believe I read a story about a catacorn.
Catacorn?
It's a cat that is also a unicorn.
Well, of course.
Great idea.
Of course. that this catacorn came from a land of rainbows, and they're involved sliding down rainbows and stuff like that. And
But if it's a cat, it probably knocks things off the rainbow.
We'll have to go back through the collection and see, George. Yes.
Or maybe jumps.
Yeah,
that's true. Cats do lots
of
jumping.
Yes,
yeah.
It was, these stories are just... Yeah. Fantastic. Yeah. And the friends make that possible.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I think our sweet spot is the kids, and we absolutely love doing stuff for the kids. So, and our final, a couple other things we're doing. If you're a member of the Friends, if you're not a member of the Friends, please join www.delawarelibraryfriends.org. We are going to have an ice cream social at Orange. We haven't come up with the date yet, but it's going to be in September on a Sunday. Bring your family. There's going to be some family things and some ice cream. And I think George is going to talk about the new Liberty Library.
Two or more are gathered, I talk about the Liberty Library.
So, yes. Wait, I can do the math in this room.
Yeah,
there you go.
there may be a little follow-up later in the show, yes.
It's growing. It's coming. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we're doing that. So we've got a busy next 3 or 4 months. We're very excited about it.
Great. Yeah, it's great. And now... I know there isn't a date yet for the next book sale, right?
No, that's correct.
But I know that the fundraising committee is working on it.
The fundraising committee is working on it, and we want to see how many books we get and what kind of volume we get in each library, and then we'll come up with some dates. So, yeah, watch our website, and definitely we are going to start doing some book sales. Just haven't figured out the logistics of it yet.
I believe your next board meeting is after the second book pickup, right? It's like the last week in July.
So
we'll probably be making some decisions then, and just follow the show, and we'll be more than happy to tell you about those book sales as they are announced.
You sound like a well-oiled machine. Not making those promises. But yeah, that sounds like good. Yeah, George, we can do that.
It's like we do this every week or something.
Yeah. You think that, wouldn't you?
It's just so good to be doing stuff. Mm-hmm. It's just, I mean, walking into the library and seeing people in the library, and it's just so good to be out and to be doing stuff. So we're really excited about getting these things started and about our next year, because next year is going to be really busy.
And I want to thank you again, because you're our key sponsor for the Summer Reading Club, which has been very successful this
year. Excellent.
You've got 1 week left. We're going to mention a little bit about that in the second half of the show. But there's 1 week left in the Summer Reading Club. The tote bags for 6 books. You get a book for 12 hours. I'm sorry. 6 hours of reading, not 6 books. 6 hours of reading, 12 hours, you get a free book. This is good for adults and kids. There's tote bags for both.
Cool.
A little thanks also to the Kiwanis Club for helping stuff those tote bags for the kids. They were, talk about a well-oiled machine.
Oh,
they
man.
They were stuffing those bags, man. We could have stuffed enough for Columbus Metro, I think, with these guys. They were great.
How many kids signed up for the summer reading?
At the last check I did, there was over 1,500 that had completed at least six hours.
Wow.
So, and that was as of the end of June. So there's more for the first 2 weeks in July.
It's pushing 2,000.
Yeah, I figured we're...
Really?
Yeah,
yes.
So it's really exciting to see. And again, like you said, it's great seeing everybody in the library, all the kids.
Yes.
With their parents. At the first time I heard a kid crying in the library, at first I hope he's okay. And then I was, oh, yeah, that sounds good.
Oh, yeah.
The second one, it was like, all right, I've had enough of that.
What's middle school go back?
No. That the sound of those kids in the library just make it so cool. Yes. I'm just so glad that everything's getting back to normal again.
Well, Karen, again, thank you for everything the Friends do for the library.
We love you guys. You know that. Love you all.
Well, back at you, kid.
Saturday, Orange. Bring all your books. We'll just take them out of your car, and you get an ice cream coupon. And the following Saturday at Delaware, same thing. So if you want 2 ice cream coupons, you can go to both places.
That's right. So if you're listening to the Sunday rebroadcast, that means that you have to go to the Delaware Library on the 24th.
And tell them you want 2 coupons.
Right. If you didn't get it till Saturday, till the replay.
Yeah.
So, okay, great. Well, we're going to be back in a moment with Aaron Schatz, I hope. Or Schultz, rather, because she hasn't called in yet, so I'm hoping we're going to hear from her shortly. So if not, we can talk about it, I'm sure.
There you go.
Karen, thanks again
Thank
for dropping
you.
In and briefing us on what's going on with the Friends, and we will be back in just a moment, so stay tuned.
It is 70 degrees. You're listening to Off the Shelf on the new My 96.7.
Good morning again. Thank you for coming. Welcome back. I'm here with Hannah Simpson, the communication specialist for the library. And we do not have Aaron Schultz, but that doesn't mean we can't talk about the program that the WAVE Foundation is going to be doing for us coming up on Wednesday at 6:30.
Oh, it's a good one.
Tell me about it.
So the WAVE Foundation works with the Newport Aquarium down in Cincinnati land. Mm-hmm. And they have penguins in that aquarium.
Somebody say penguins?
I love penguins.
And
as long as they're not playing hockey.
Right, of course. We shall not speak of those penguins. And they normally come to the library, right? And we are very fond of when they come to the library, and they are named after vegetables. Whole foods. They have blueberries and red pepper and my personal favorite, green bean. He once painted me a picture, and he lives in my office. Aww. But they're going to be doing a virtual program for us, and you can register for that program and interact with these penguins and the WAVE Foundation, and you can learn all about penguins and what makes them so smart and wonderful.
And who doesn't love a penguin? I mean,
I've never met someone who doesn't.
You know, every kind, you know, the Chilly Willy, the cartoon character, or Otis
Chilly
the penguin from Broome County, and all those wonder Tennessee Tuxedo.
What's the one with the dancing penguins with the
not marching penguins,
no.
But the
Happy Feet.
Happy Feet, right? Yes. So you gotta love it, and this, you know, because this is part of the aquarium. It's not only just fun to see the penguins, but there'll be a lot of good information in there, too.
Oh, yeah.
They'll talk about the diet. They'll talk about where penguins live. They'll talk about who their predators are. You know, they don't really want to meet an orca. They want to stay away from those orcas.
I don't really, anyone really wants to.
That's true. That's
you
true.
Think you might, even as a human, but you sure don't.
Nah, probably not. They're pretty voracious. So, and as I noted, this is actually coming up as the last week of the Summer Reading Club. So this will be a good chance to jump in and see some of that. We do have a couple of other programs going on this week. On Thursday, we're going to be doing the Papa Petting Zoo again at Ostrander. That was a huge hit at Orange a couple of weeks ago. 450 people
yes.
over 3 hours.
It was truly delightful. I popped over to take some pictures just to get a feel for it. If you want to see some of the pictures, they're on our Facebook page mm-hmm. and on our Instagram, so you can see what will be at Ostrander. There was a pig. It was a little hot for her, but she did need some belly scratches.
Aww.
So you may need to go and scratch your belly if you get over to Ostrander. There's some ducks. And they just lay their eggs. They're laying eggs. Doesn't matter
wherever they are.
If you're gonna pet them or not, they're laying eggs, guys. and bunnies and a turkey. And that thing was gobbling. It was doing the. It was doing that.
Wow.
I had to step away from the microphone, folks.
Really good impression there.
Well, and if you like, you mentioned the eggs. We do have the chicks at
yes.
Powell this coming week.
Oh, man, I may have to go work from Powell next week because we just had those at Delaware.
Oh, they were so cute.
Oh, I love them so much.
Although every time I would walk into the library and hear them, I would think a bird had gotten loose in the library. And then I'd remember, oh, yes, we have the chicks there and they're in a cage. They're safe. So, but they were
adorable.
They're
little peeps.
They were all different colors. They were just really, and they hatched and they grew up and
they were named after days of the week, mm-hmm. and of course, the one named Wednesday was all black. They were named in the order that they hatched, and the one that hatched third was all black.
That is fantastic. Well, I also want to, while we're on here, thank Jay Gumbos for providing ice cream treats for a previous program that we had. And also the School of Falconry that provided us with an online video,
yes.
on-demand video
yes.
about falconry. And man, is that an amazing sport.
It is an amazing sport. And you can watch that video if you go to the Summer Reading Club website and look for our on-demand programs. You can go and watch it for yourself and learn all about what it takes to become a falconer.
Wow.
And join the Ohio School of Falconry.
For me, it would take getting over my fear of having birds on my body. That would be the first thing I would have to get over. I love watching other people do it.
Yeah.
But I don't want to have a bird like on my arm.
Mine would be the opposite. I would love them too much and try and like hug them. And then I would die.
Then their claws would be
yeah,
like.
They would yeah. like, yeah.
That's... Or if you hug, their bones are not really real sturdy. That's how they can fly.
Yeah.
Because they're very thin. So
yeah.
that would not be good for the bird either if you hug them too much.
A little Lenny
yeah.
is probably how.
They like to bite your ear too.
And squeeze them
yep.
and love them all.
Yep.
So we got a couple of minutes. So what have you been reading, Hannah?
I'm currently reading Malibu Rising by Taylor Jenkins Reid.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very popular book about a house party in the 1980s in Malibu that goes awry, starts a fire in California, which we've all heard
Ooh.
Happens from time to time in California.
Indeed. This wasn't like a gender reveal party, I hope.
No, it's supposed to be very glamorous and the rocks on the coast of California.
Ah, okay.
But I most recently finished The Night Watchman, which just won the Pulitzer
mm-hmm.
By Louise Erdős. It follows two interspersed stories about on an Indian reservation in the 1950s out in Montana or one of the Dakotas, North okay. Dakota. An unpopular opinion, didn't love it.
Oh.
I found that for a Pulitzer, she did too much telling and not enough showing when
okay.
the first rule of writing is show, don't tell.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And
wow.
I just spoke with my grandfather who finished it this week and he went, yeah, Hannah. She did a lot of telling, not showing.
Wow.
So you can skip it.
All
How
right.
about you, George?
I just, I was on vacation last week and I finally read a book that was at the top of my pile for quite a while. We'd gotten this advanced reader copy last fall of If Then by Jill Lepore. Jill Lepore is a staff writer for The New Yorker. She's also a professor at Harvard of history. And she is one of my favorite writers, one of my favorite nonfiction writers. I will read practically anything she writes. And this book is about the Samuel Maddox Corporation, which almost no one has heard of anymore. But between 1959 and 1970, they basically created a science within computing of how to do segmented audiences. If we talk about personas when we're doing planning, we owe it to them. If we talk about how you focus an audience, like to narrow down to left-handed Democrats living in this zip code, this is the kind of work that they did back in the 50s and into the 60s. Their first big project was working on the John F. Kennedy's presidential campaign in 1960. And the last thing that they worked on, which really helped bring the company down, was the Vietnam War. They tried to take what they had learned about Americans and move it to Vietnam and try to win the hearts and minds, as Robert McNamara used to say, of the Vietnamese people. And it was a total disaster. Also, the person who created the company knew nothing about computers. He basically was really good at connecting to people who did. And he brought together some very brilliant people to work in this company. And for a while, it soared. It was very, very big. But eventually, other companies, especially advertising agencies, started to do the same thing and made them seem more and more old-fashioned almost. So it's a fascinating story. I think, in my personal opinion, she overstates what they were doing because it's always been part of the political game is to say, okay, which voters do I need to appeal to and how can I make the case to them? And what this system started and what they did with Kennedy was they were losing African-American voters to Nixon because Eisenhower had been really strongly pro-civil rights and Kennedy was kind of wishy-washy. Mm-hmm. He missed the vote on the only Civil Rights Act while he was in
the
Congress,
hospital
because he was in the hospital. Yeah. And so he was not seen as being as strong in civil rights as Nixon. So how could they appeal to African-American voters? And that was one of the things that they came up with. But that's something the politicians have been doing as long as there have been elections is, you know, how do I appeal to this particular group? So what they did was automate systems, and what they've done is they've made it possible to so narrow the focus that you get in. Basically, they created the bubble.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting. It's a good book. It's definitely worth the read. It's very approachable, even though it's a lot about computers and a lot about cybernetics and everything. It's very approachable. And again, it's called If Then. Which is what they created. If this happens, then this will happen.
Mm-hmm.
So it's called If Then, How the Simulmatics Corporation Invented the Future by Jill Lepore. So I think you'll enjoy that. If you're interested at all in politics or computing, I think you'll find it very enlightening. So anyway, again, we've got the Penguin program coming up. We've got the Friends of the Library tomorrow from 10 to 1 at the Orange Library. And then the following Saturday, July 24th, from 10 to 1 at the Delaware Library for your drop-off of your books, DVDs, CDs, things that you want to contribute to the Friends. So we hope we'll see you at one or both or all of those programs. Thank you, Hannah, for sitting in for Nicole.
Thanks for having me.
It's always great to have you on the show here. Gage, thank you, as always,
Absolutely.
For your great work on the board. And Aaron, I'm sorry we missed you, but we talked about your program. So anyway, thanks, and we will see you in the stacks.